Today, we have been talking about, I think, the last 2 weeks before the 2 weeks before the Resurrection Sunday and all that, we actually have had some lessons on what is a Christian. And I hope the key thing is to be able to understand what is a Christian and whether we are Christians or not. Okay, and I believe by God's grace, it is God's work in our hearts, but we have to be sure ourselves. Okay, so today we want to move on because the last time we talked about sanctification, okay, the fact that we are actually set apart, we are free from sin, and we are free from sin for a purpose to serve God. So today we want to move on to something that hopefully is a little bit personal, okay, but we want to see the teaching of the Bible first, and then perhaps in our hearts we can reflect. All right, and the question we want to ask is, I want to do the right thing, but why can't I? Why can't I do the right thing? Okay? So, well, we actually have notes in front there, so you can just grab. Yeah. Let's have a word of prayer, right? Then we will dive in and get started. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, once again for one more Sunday. Lord, the fact that we are here again shows, Father, that you have a plan for our lives to learn, to bless, to be involved in someone else's life. Lord, for you to convict our hearts about certain things. We pray, Lord, that we will continuously have the mindset that, Lord, our Christian life is always moving, always dynamic, always growing. Father, may we always, Lord, have that focus of never looking back, but always moving forwards. We can't change the past, Father, but we certainly can move forward and determined by your grace, Father, to influence the future with your help, so that we can be more and more like Christ, the more souls can come to Christ as a result. So, Father, we thank you for what you're going to do. We commit this day into your hands. May it be a day of blessing, a time, Lord, that we can reflect on your goodness once again. And, Father, to see those areas we need to grow in so that we can honor you. We thank you, Lord, for what you're going to do, even for the Sunday Bible hour, for the children. We pray the children will learn, have fun. More than anything, Lord, at the end of their sessions, they will have faith in Christ who can save their soul. We thank you. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Okay. I hope you all have this. Okay, we're going to start off by asking yourself one question, all right? Just your personal question. You don't have to let anyone know. When you think of a situation in your life, think of a situation in your life or some things in your life or attitude in your life or a certain thing your life that you just find it hard to overcome, all right? Just find it so hard to overcome. It could be selfishness, it could be pride, it could be things you want to do it your way. Just think, and then after that, write down, okay? We think about maybe 30 seconds. If it's something that you're struggling with on a daily basis, quite quick, you just write it down, okay? So I just want us to take that, maybe 30 seconds, a minute just to reflect on that, all right? Then after that, we'll go straight into the lesson and see what God has to say. It's something in your life that you struggle with. You know that as a Christian, you're not supposed to do it or not supposed to have this attitude, but you know, you just keep on going through the vicious cycle of kicking yourself and you just can't seem to get out of that, right? Okay, if you have written it in the first, we can actually turn to Romans chapter 7, all right, for those who have finished. Yes, okay, you turn there. Just want to make a mention that all Christians struggle. Amen? All of us do struggle. Okay? Many times on the outside, we look very good. Sometimes we look good on the outside. All of us struggle on the inside. Would you agree with that? Somehow or other, even as pastor, I struggle with things because we know that things are supposed to be in a certain way, but we just can't get there. Kind of like you know that you know your Chinese is really horrible, and you know you have to pass to get in somewhere. But every time you look at your Chinese paper, you burst into tears without even trying. You just. You know, so we all struggle, okay? But I've got good news for you because the Bible does talk about the struggle all Christians face and it's an essential thing for us to understand as Christians that we struggle, okay? And when we know the average Christian struggle, we can do a few things. One, we can certainly condemn them, which I hope we will never do, okay? Because we are all in the same boat, okay? Another thing we can do is to pray for them. Those people who struggle, if you do not know what to do, you can pray for them. Those people who struggle, you can pray. You can ask God, God, how can I help them? Okay, so there are some things that we want to talk about today. Okay? Let's look at Romans chapter 7. There are three areas that we want to look at today. Hopefully we can just finish that, all right? I'm going to try to race very fast. We're going to talk about the reality of the struggle in a Christian life. If you are a Christian, you will struggle. It's a real thing. No, if you're not a Christian, you don't struggle. I dare say you're not a Christian. Because you've got nothing to fight with. You just live by your sinful nature, you just go ahead. But you know what? If you are genuinely a Christian, you will struggle. Okay? Number two, we want to talk about the reasons why we lose in the fight. Why, as Christians, we feel condemned, we will lose in the fight. But at the same time, if you look at the note, we'll be looking at the remedies for that. How do we overcome that from the Bible? And then we talk about the road to victory. I may shift that a bit because I was thinking through how to present it so that it will be meaningful. Okay? So let's look firstly at the reality of the struggle in the Christian life. It's a real thing. In Romans chapter 7, verse 1 to 6. Alright? I'll just go through. The first point there you want to write down is our freedom from the control of sin. This is very important. Now, many Christians don't realize this at the beginning of their Christian life, but over time, if you really study the Bible, you realize every Christian is free from the control of sin. Okay? In Romans chapter 7, verse 1 to 6, the Bible says, "Know ye not, for I speak to them that know the law," referring to the Jews, okay? "How that the law had control or dominion over a man as long as he lived. For the woman which hath an husband is bound by the law to her husband as long as he liveth. But if the husband be dead, she is loosed from the law of the husband. So then, if while her husband liveth, she be married to another man, she shall be called an adulteress. But if her husband be dead, she is free from the law, so that she is no adulteress, though she be married to another man." So Paul is using a Jewish tradition whereby one man, one woman for the rest of your life. That is God's will. Okay, that is God's will. And it is all God's will for the New Testament Christian church. Okay, I say again, it's God's will. So one man, one woman for the rest of your life. Okay? As a practice of that, you need to be careful whom you plan to marry. Okay? For young people, don't just go dating, don't just go trying to so-called play the field. You know, I get attached to this one, then don't like, really break off. Because once you do that, you know what you're preparing? You're actually practicing divorce. You're practicing what it means to, oh, have a heartbreak and then after move on. Okay, that is certainly not God's will. Okay? So one man, one woman for the rest of your life. And if this man or this woman is divorced, okay, a woman is divorced, if the man is still alive, this woman cannot marry another. If he marries, he's in adultery, it's sin. Okay? But if the husband be dead, then this woman is free to marry. Alright, that's the principle of the scriptures. Alright? Paul uses it to illustrate the Christian life. But I dare say that this is also a principle that we hold with regards to marriage and divorce, so you need to be very clear on that. Now, after he said that, he says in verse number 4, "Wherefore, my brethren, ye also are become dead to the law by the body of Christ, that ye should be married to another, even to him who is raised from the dead." Now, who is this person who is raised from the dead? The Lord Jesus Christ, okay? So, Jesus is raised from the dead, that we should bring forth fruit unto God. For when we were in the flesh, the movements of sin, the influence of sin, the control of sin, which were by the law of sin, did work in our members to bring forth fruit unto death. What does that mean? When we were sinful, when we were without Christ, when we were not a Christian, we were married to, who was our father? Satan, okay? We are married to the law of sin. We cannot get out of the law of sin. And the influence of that law causes us to fight, have conflict, be selfish, be proud. We just cannot control because the influence of sin continues in our life. But when we become Christian, according to the scriptures, that law and control of sin dies in Christ. And when the law dies in Christ, then we are free to marry another. But in this situation, as Christians, we are automatically enjoined to Christ because we have trusted Him as our Savior. Does that make sense? This is an important truth for us to understand. We are free. All Christians are free from the control of sin. No one can say, based on the Bible, I cannot control myself. Yes, you can. Because the Bible said you can. If God said you can, no one should say He cannot. Like for example, if the dad say, I got $2 for you, you can go and buy chicken rice. I cannot. No, yes, you can. You got $2 in your pocket, right? You can buy your chicken rice, right? Alright? So we have to be clear there. Then in the last verse, but now we are delivered from the law, that being dead wherein we were held. In other words, last time we were dead in the law of sin. Now we can serve in the newness of spirit, not in the oldness of the letter. Alright? So I want to go through a bit quickly now. We are free from the control of sin. First point, we are married to Christ. Christ is our new master. He's our new Lord. The Lord Jesus Christ is our master. And He gives us the strength to overcome. And we no longer are under the control of the old man. Alright? The second point, Paul's call to make a decision. Paul's call to make a decision. Let's turn to Romans chapter 6. Romans chapter 6. Okay, I want to talk about the reality of the struggle in the Christian life first. We are married to Christ. We are actually free from sin. We are free, alright, from sin. But then Paul somehow says that we still have to make a decision. In Romans chapter 6, verse 12 to 16, Paul says, let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, referring to the body we have now, okay? That ye should obey it in the last thereof. Neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. Now I want to highlight a few points here. Based on what Paul says, is it possible we still have our sinful nature in us? Do we still have our sinful nature in us? Yes, we do. Because the Bible says, let not sin therefore reign in your mortal bodies. That means even after we become Christians, there is a part of us that says, no, I don't want to follow God. I just don't want to follow God. Nah, nah, nah. You know? Huh? But when the Holy Spirit comes and says, no, you better follow me, because otherwise you will be instruments unto death. So Paul is saying, look, there is a fight, there's a struggle in us. Now, for sin shall not have dominion over you, Romans chapter 12, verse 14. Sin shall not have dominion over you, for ye are not under law, but under grace. What then? Shall we sin because we are not under the law, but under grace? This is a very popular teaching in this world, in the Pentecostal charismatic movement. You are no longer under the law, you're under grace. To them, their definition of law is anything that is legalistic, anything that's of the Bible. But listen to the teaching of Paul with regards to this. He said, what then shall we sin because we are no longer under the law, but under grace? I want to paraphrase that again. What then shall we sin? Because we are no longer under the law of sin, but under the law of grace. It's still a law, but a different law. Okay? Now, I paraphrase that again. Should we continue to sin just because we are no longer under the law of sin? In other words, I'm just trying to illustrate this. Just imagine a boy who look at another person and say, nah, you cannot catch me, you know, and because I'm free already, what? You cannot catch me, you know. Let's say this big guy, Satan, tries to catch a thin guy. And this guy laughs, you cannot catch me. But just because he cannot catch you, do you think sometimes he can catch you? He may use subtlety and all that. So I was thinking of an illustration. I think a good illustration of a Christian is, you have become a fireman. Okay, you've become a fireman. Just imagine you're a fireman. But even a fireman can get burned if he plays with fire. Does it make sense? If you are a fireman, but even a fireman can get burned if he continues to play with fire. That's what Paul is saying here. In Romans chapter 6, he's saying, what? Shall we sin? Shall we play with fire? Just because we're no longer under the control of the fire. We know how to control the fire now, right? Because we're firemen. God forbid. He goes on then and said, know ye not that to whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants ye are to whom ye obey. Paul is actually illustrating a very serious spiritual principle. When you play with sin, you automatically comes back into his control. Okay? Not because you are not free, but because you choose to put yourself under there. Example, if I'm a fireman, I know fire will burn me, but I keep playing with fire. Actually, the fire has no control over me, but because I'm playing with fire, I can get burned. Does that make sense? All right? But interestingly, remember as a Christian, because you have the Christian nature in you, but God also says that, no, the sinful nature is also in you. The more you play with the fire of sin, this fire actually gets stronger and stronger. So that in the end, even as a Christian, you get controlled by that sin to the point you cannot do what God wants you to do. Does it make sense? Any question there? I want us to all to understand this, because many Christians are in condemnation of discouragement, disillusionment. They get fed up with life as a Christian, but they fail to recognize they've lost the fight in their struggle against sin. It's not a struggle against men. It's not a struggle against your situation. It's not a struggle against the environment. It's a struggle within yourself that you have not allowed your master, the Savior, to control you. Does it make sense? And this is a real struggle, you know. Any questions? Would we all agree that we have the struggle as a Christian? Yes? Okay, let's move on, okay? So, our freedom from the control of sin, we are married to Christ, but Paul did call us to make a decision. Number two, I want to highlight the presence of the flesh. Okay, I need to move a bit faster. Romans chapter 7. Romans chapter 7, the presence of the flesh. I think we all know this, but I just read so that we can actually see what Paul is referring to. The presence of the flesh. For we know, verse 14, Romans 7, we know that the law is spiritual, God's law is spiritual, but I am fleshly, carnal, soul under sin. For that which I do, I allow not. For what I would, what I will, that is right, that do I not. If I know the right thing to do, I don't do it. That's what Paul is saying. I know what is right, but I don't do it. But what I hate, Paul is saying, I'm a Christian now. I hate doing that, but I couldn't do it. I hate to hate my brother. I hate to not forgive. I hate to not be proud, but I'm proud. Why? Okay, he goes on to say, for I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. For to will is present with me. I can decide that I want to do, but how to do, which is good, I find not. There's this flesh in me. Now if I do that which I would not, it's no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. Paul says, I find them a law. That when I would do good, evil is present with me. For I delight in the law of God after the inward man, but I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind, and bringing me into captivity of the law of sin, which is in my members. Very simple. Some of you may have tried to go on a diet before. Some of you don't have to. That's not fair. Some people say, that's just not fair. But anyway, life is not about fair. Life is about receiving what God has given to us. But some people really need to go on a diet, you know, and they try. I'm not going to eat ice cream, you know. Okay, one scoop. And people who don't like it, I just try, lah. You know, have you heard that before? Let me just try. But they try become one whole plate, right? After a while, then after you keep going. Why? I know what is right. Some people are smiling, I think, you know. I know what is right in my mind. The mind tells me what to do, but somehow my flesh keeps doing the same thing. Why? That's what Paul is talking about. Now, this is just about food, okay? But you know, there are other things like pride. You shouldn't be saying these things. You shouldn't be behaving in a certain way. But why do you keep doing that? Paul is saying there's the presence of the flesh that still wants to control, okay? Although in Christ we are free from the control of sin, we are free to serve Christ and do the right thing, we still struggle because of the reality of the conflict between the flesh and the spirit within us. Every Christian will struggle. That's why God gave us the local church. Did you know that? To encourage, to help, to counsel, to sometimes help to overcome that sin. Okay? So, the reality. Reasons why we lose the fight. Okay? Any questions up to there? I think we all know this. I just want to go a bit more detail. Alright? Now, I'm going to go through 18 reasons why we lose the fight. This is one. Brother Johnny, this is a long time. If you want to take 1 minute, it's only 18 minutes. But I'm going to go through quite a number. And I was thinking how to, sometimes you know you just kind of boom, 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 so many points, but I want us to really contextualize this. Imagine that you were a civilian before, okay, use the army kind of, and then you are drafted into the army. You go through your basic military training, you are equipped with a lot of ways of fighting, how to use your rifle, etc. Now you are moving into the battle. In front of you are the enemies. Okay? And maybe your officers and all that, I'm going to tell you a few reasons why you are going to lose the fight inside there when you are fighting the Christian life. Remember just now when we started, think of a situation that you find you cannot overcome. You cannot overcome. I think some of you may have watched this, but during the Battle of Normandy, whereby the Allied forces had attacked to free Europe from Nazi Germany during that time, there was this infamous, okay, it's 70-kilometer stretch of Normandy, whereby this, I think it's General Rommel, okay, he actually fortified this whole place so thick with machine guns, bombs, and apparently the machine gun the Nazis had was the fastest in the world, 1,500 rounds per minute. You think about 1,500 bullets coming out one rifle for 1 minute, okay? And the Allied forces are supposed to storm this, and they just cannot get through. They just cannot get through. They storm and just cannot get through. And it was hard. Because literally, in that particular, I think, I don't know the count. I think it's about 60,000 soldiers. I think about two-thirds of them died. 40,000 soldiers died on that beach. And the beach is only about 100 meters. And they just cannot get through until apparently a general came in and he saw he had to take charge. He went in. He managed to overcome a managed to punch through, and that's how the Allied forces went through. But you know, they fought for hours and they knew they're going to lose. Alright, everything they planned didn't work out. You know, the bombs were supposed to come, didn't, and the Allied forces shoot. I think initially there were some bombs that were supposed to come, the airplane supposed to bomb the beach. Alright, the bombs didn't bomb the beach, bomb about 1 kilometer out. Kind of missed the whole thing, you know. And everything that they wanted to do didn't work out. They just cannot punch through, you know. Don't you feel like that as a Christian, that you're trying to push your way through to win the fight, to want to grow in Christ, you want to overcome a situation? It's like, just cannot punch through. There are 18 reasons perhaps as a Christian, I'm sure there are more. But perhaps as you go through, you may think, Lord, is this the reason why I'm not punching through? Is this the reason why I'm not winning the Christian life? Is this the reason why? And then, I'll be including the remedy in the verse, so that you can see, okay, then I need to change my mindset. You know, as a Christian, the goal is not so much to change your life, it's to change your mind first. Did you know that? The goal in the Christian life, if you want to change, is to change your mind first. Because in Romans chapter 12, verse 1 and 2, what does the verse say? It's not here. I beseech thee therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is a reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. When Paul said that, he was targeting a very important aspect of the human nature, that if we are still controlled by the headquarters here of the old man, the entire life is not going to change. Okay? The word transform in the Greek literally means metamorphosis. What's metamorphosis in science? To change from one state to another. Okay? How? By the renewing of your mind. Not by the study of God's word. Although study of God's word is the ingredients that we have to accept by faith. Once we accept by faith, the Holy Spirit then starts to change us. Alright? So that's what I'm going to do. 18 reasons why we lose the fight. Okay? I will be highlighting why we lose, but also to recommend biblical remedies so as to know how we can win the battle against sin, self, Satan, so we can honor the Lord Jesus Christ, so we can fulfill His word, so we can grow in Christ, so we can edify the body of Christ, so we can win the loss to Jesus Christ. Okay, so these are the reasons. Number one, I'll give you the verses, then you read. Okay, then we'll, maybe Sister Felicia, you can turn to Ephesians 6:10. Then if, Sister Agnes, Proverbs 24, verse 10. Then Sean, if you can turn to Ephesians 6, 11. Then Sister Elizabeth, you can turn to Ephesians 6, 12. Then Sister Mason, you can turn to Ephesians 6, 14. Azel, Ken? Colossians 3, verse 16. Colossians 3, and verse 16. Brother Joshua, you can turn to Proverbs 4, 23. Proverbs 4, 23. Sister Charlene, turn to Ephesians 6:15, then who's that stranger now? Rahman, you can turn to John 7:17. Okay, yeah. If Phoebe, you can turn to 1 Corinthians 15:58. And then Sister Maria, you can turn to Ephesians 6:16. Brother Ping Kuang, 1 Peter 3:15. Brother Denzel, you can turn to Matthew 22:29. Then Sister Kim, you can turn to 1 Timothy 2:15. Songling, you can turn to Joshua 1:8. Okay, in some passages we'll go through together. If Lydia, you can turn to Ephesians 6:17. Then Joanna, can you turn to 2 Peter 1:10? Okay, maybe we'll stop there first. Then well, when you call out the verse, you just read it loud and clear, all right? Just read loud and clear. Okay, first point, Ephesians 6:10. First reason why we lose the fight, we are not strong in the Lord. We are not strong in the Lord. We are not strong in the Lord. What do you mean by that? When someone asks you a question, let me ask you a question. When someone, let's say I just ask, Brother Song Ling, I just speak on him. Okay, Brother Song Ling, are you able to serve God in this, in ushering? Sure, okay. Brother Song Ling, are you able to teach in Sunday school? Sure, okay. So, of course, you can say, of course, but then I will follow up with action. Okay. What if I give you if I ask you a question and you vacillate, something doing for the Lord, and you vacillate, are you able to give? Are you able to do certain things for the Lord? You know, the moment we vacillate, Sometimes we have to think through our program, that's fine. But how many of you have been in a situation whereby you're in a group of friends and some of your friends are not Christian and suddenly two of them start cracking dirty jokes and you are a Christian there, what would you do? What would you do? Joshua, what would you do? Okay, you will walk away. How many of you will walk away? How many of you think it's hard to walk away? Hard, isn't it, in that kind of context? But you know, it could be, why is it hard? Why, especially for teenagers, especially when everyone is, maybe they don't tell outright the details, but you know, it's kind of, they kind of go through some things, and you know it's wrong, but you kind of stay, why? Because we're not strong in the Lord. Some have a problem doing certain things for God because we're not strong in the Lord. There's certain decisions we don't even have to think, we'll do it. Why? Because we are strong. The one reason why we lose in the fight because we're not strong. We depend on ourselves, we depend on our own wisdom, and we fail to lean on Christ. Okay, Proverbs 24, verse 10. Okay, Christian, if you faint, the Bible says, not me, if you faint, if you fall away from God, if you fail to trust God in the day of difficulties, your strength is small. That's what God says. That's why you're not strong in the Lord. Okay, many Christians, they fall when they face trials. Why? The Bible says you are not strong. You have little strength. You need to build that strength. Okay, what do? Be strong in the Lord. All right, the word be strong, I was thinking how to actually share with you. The word be strong means to be empowered in the Lord. Be empowered in the Lord. Okay? Be empowered in the Lord. I give the illustration of a little child that, you know, the child may be trying to fight this big bully. Okay, let's fight this big bully, which is Satan. And he seems to always lose. And every time the bully comes, he will try to shy away. Right? Okay? But you know what happens if the dad is behind him, walking beside him? What will happen to the little child? The father here, no? You know? Does that make sense? Now sometimes you try to fight do you know who is Scrappy Doo? Don't you know who Scrappy Doo is? Scooby-Doo, what does Scrappy Doo always try to do? And Scooby-Doo is trying to, let me get him, you know? They say, 不自量力, I think it's very big. You know, sometimes we 不自量力. Can I say, Satan is more powerful than us? Satan is wiser than us? Okay, if we don't depend on God, we will lose, okay? Remedy is be strong in the Lord. Depend on God more. That means you may have to pray more, you have to read the Bible more, you have to really ask God, I need to win, I need you to be my strength, okay? Next one, we do not put on the armor of God. Ephesians 6:11. Okay, the walls of the devil. Okay. We do not put on the armor of God. If you look at this particular point, you realize that God has a whole armor for us as Christians. Many times, when we go into the battle, we don't have the armor of God. That's why we lose. Paul has the illustration of a Roman soldier. Okay? I think Brother Desmond talked about it before. It's interesting, I was reading one commentator. Do you know why Paul had intimate knowledge of the armor of God? Because he was chained to a Roman soldier for 2 years. So he knew what they were wearing, what they had to do. Because he was chained to them. Alright, it was one of the commentators mentioned. He has intimate knowledge. Of course, he also, as a Pharisee, he has lots of information. We don't put on the armor of God. We need to do that. The Bible verse says, put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. What does it mean? What is the wiles of the devil? What does wiles mean? The word wiles means crafty and cunning. We are not as smart as the devil. Did you know that? Did you know that? We are not as smart as the devil. The devil has about 6 to 10,000 years experience on earth. He knows what to do with who. He knows that, okay, Sean will fall because of this area. Ethan will fall because of this area. Okay, Sister Felicia will be stumbled because of this area. And you know what? I was sharing with my son. You know how Bruce Lee, not that I revere him, you know how Bruce Lee wins his fight? Apparently, like one strategy, yeah, he will, as he fight, he was the first thing in his mind, he will suss out what's the weakest point in his opponent, and he kept banging that point, that he can actually take down big men, because he was very focused. He knows, if I keep hitting the area, the guy is going to die. That's what Satan does. Satan don't have to do a lot of things. He just has to pinpoint your weak point and whack you from there. Okay? That's why if you don't put on God's armor completely, you will fall. Alright? Next point. So the remedy is put on the whole armor of God. Okay? You can take out some of the points from here. Point number 3, Ephesians 6 verse 12. Okay, spiritual wickedness in high places. Number 3, we fail to recognize our enemies. We fail to recognize our enemies. I think this is a very important principle. We often fight the wrong enemy. Husbands, you fight your wives. Wives, you fight your husbands. Wrong enemy. Brothers, you fight against brothers. Sisters, against sisters. Wrong enemy. You know why? You know what Satan likes to do? Go and irritate you so you get angry at a person and then sit back and see the show. What Satan does. Did you know that? No, as pastor, I'll be honest, one of the things that pastor has to do is to be vigilant. And that's why a lot of things I don't do, I don't say, I don't... Because why on the back, I say, Lord, I'm not fighting that person, I'm not fighting that situation, I'm not fighting God. And we need to get down here. God, please, there's something happening that we don't know what's happening, but God, you have to come in. We pray. We need to recognize that we are not each other's enemy, amen. Family members, you are not enemies of one another. God put you together for what? To fight? No! So that we can grow. So that we can encourage one another. And I've learned this in the scriptures, both in the family and in the church. Did you realize God already gave you a unity before you even started your family? God already gave us a unity as a church. And all He does is preserve that unity I've given to you. Did you know that? Ephesians chapter 4 verse 2, endeavor to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Okay? We fail to recognize our enemies and we oftentimes fight the wrong enemies. So what do we need to do? We need to recognize who our enemy is. And our enemy is severely, I'll use the word severely. Our enemy, Satan, is very organized. Very, extremely organized. And they are very focused, they're very diligent. And it is said, I'm not too sure, no one has seen the spiritual realm. Satan has his demons to control pornography. And that's all they do, day in, day out. They just whack. Satan has his whole committee to deal with computer addiction. Satan has his whole committee to deal with drugs. Satan has his whole committee dedicated to destroy families. Whole committees. You know why? Finally, casino came into Singapore. You know, our minister mentor said, no! And later on, say, no, we had to move with the times. It's not just the devil controls, he's the power, prince of the power of the air. Sometimes, as Christians, we find the losing battle, but we need to recognize what? And we fail to recognize our enemies. And that's why we lose the fight. And next one, Ephesians 6:14. Okay, point up. Okay, point number four, we fail to have the truth of God in our lives. We fail to have the truth of God in our lives. The truth of God has to do with the Word of God in our lives and the truth of our lives, the truthfulness in our life. Okay? We need to have truth in our life. In Colossians 3:16, the remedy for this, if we don't have the truth, we will fall. So what do? Colossians 3:16. Okay, we feel to have truth of God in our life. So what the remedy? Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. Not just dwell in you. Dwell in you richly. In other words, on a daily basis, as you walk, the word of God always constantly has to be in your mind. Okay? We feel to have the truth of God, we need to have it in our lives richly. Ephesians 6:14, the second one is having on the breastplate of righteousness. Point number five, we do not guard our hearts against worldliness and the sins of this world. We do not guard our hearts. What does that mean? There are many, many movies that come, music that come, things that come in this world. You know what we do after some of these things of this world? Oh, I like that. You know when you say, I like this, I enjoy this. You know what you're saying? You're giving your heart to that thing. Did you know that? Did you know that? Oh, but you know this music is nice, but you've given your heart to this music already. We feel we lose the fight because we do not guard our hearts against worldliness. It is like an enemy sending a spy, sending a decoy. Have you heard of the story of the Trojan horse? You know the Trojan horse? I think there were two. What's the country? I think Athens and I can't remember. Troy. Okay, because of one lady, like Helen of Troy, kind of thing. Right? And they send in. And if they wanted to conquer, to save, I think, this Helen of Troy, they couldn't. Then finally, they thought of a plan. They built this Trojan horse. They move away. All right? And then the soldiers were, hey, come. No more enemies. Just a Trojan horse. Wow, quite nice, huh? Trojan horse. And without even suspecting anything, they pushed in the Trojan horse into the... And they celebrated, right? Whoa, no more fighting. Yeah, whoa. They after went on to sleep. Wow, all the soldiers were hiding inside. Can't have a Trojan horse in your computers today. Christians, are we allowing Trojan horses of Satan into our lives? Because we don't guard our hearts. We lose the fight because there's someone in there disturbing. We fail to guard our hearts against worldliness and the sins of this world. What do we do? Proverbs 4:23. Proverbs 4:23. The word keep means to preserve. The word keep means to be a sentry. You know what's a sentry? In the army, they have sentry. Basically, when the whole battalion or the whole group of soldiers are sleeping, a sentry is a soldier that essentially have to stay awake. So that at the approach of any possible enemy, they will quickly do something to warn the HQ, hey, I think there is a group of soldiers coming. I think there's enemy coming already. Christians, we need to guard our hearts more. We need to guard our hearts more, okay? We lose because we don't guard our hearts. Next one, Ephesians 6:15. Okay, for the Roman soldiers last time, they actually had to walk on very rocky ground. So in order for them to fight, they actually had to strap and be always ready with their shoes so they are ready to move. One of the reasons why we lose the fight is not we are not ready to serve. We're not ready to serve. Do you realize that at a moment's notice, you said, Sister Felicia, can you share the gospel with this person? Straight away, we need to be ready. Let's go. Let's take the, go. How many of you will say, if I ask, Brother Gideon, can you share the gospel? Or, you know, this pastor, can you share the gospel? And the pastor say, actually, I'm not very... Maybe you ask for someone. I think it's more open. You know, the moment we do that, we fail. You know why? Satan will attack you all the time. And after a while, he will discourage you. He will make you feel useless. You know, we need to always be ready to serve. I learned one thing very much from Brasso. God is not looking for our ability. He's looking for our availability. But Brother Johnny, you know ability is important. Yes, it is. I'm not saying it's not. But you know, many times God chooses to strip off of our ability, so the only person we depend on is Him. You know, can you imagine, Brother? You know, I was speaking to him last night, he just shared with me. A few more souls got saved in his church. This is a communist country, you know. Perhaps there are more people hungry, but you know what? They are actively always going out. Why are people getting saved in a communistic country? Why are they not getting saved in a free country like Singapore? Well, God, there are many reasons. But what I'm saying is the oppression they face is much more than what we face now. The reason why we lose the fight in our Christian life, we're not ready to serve. We're ready to do the little things, but we're not ready to serve. So what do we do? You know, let me just finish. When we do not serve, there is an increase in doubt. When we're not moving forward in the service to Christ, we are always moving backwards. I say again, if you're not moving forward in your service to Christ, you are moving backwards. The Christian life is a steep climb. You cannot stay at one point for too long without slipping back. The Christian life is a steep climb. Okay? John 7:17. John 7:17, Brother Houghton. If anyone will do his doctrine, notice, if you do, then you will know. Some people say, no, Brother Johnny, I need to understand this before I obey. No, God says you obey first, then you will find out what I mean. Okay? Remedy, 1 Corinthians 15:58. What do you do? Always abounding in the work of the Lord. The word always abounding means to be overflowing with God's work. Always doing what God wants us to do. Always, always, always. At the moment's notice, we are ready to go. All right? Point number 7. Ephesians 6:16. Okay. The point here is we have doubts and we have no answer for it. How many of you are in this category? Don't put your hand. Many Christians have doubts, but they don't want to find answers for it. You know what Satan does? Keep whacking you at the doubts. There's no God. 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 Do you know what these people do? They go and read atheistic websites. As a Christian. If you're cancer, you don't put in cancer cells so they can attack you more. But why is... Can you see the spiritual deception that Satan tries to do to destroy us? We have questions, but we don't find answers for it. There is every answer in your life. This Bible, do you believe that? How many of you will believe that? Not too sure. I hope you come to a place of 100% confidence that every question in your life can be answered by God. Because, by the way, your life is not as complicated as ruling the universe. You are just one small speck like us. God has the answer. In fact, God has a manual to Johnny's life. He's like that, like that, like that. His operating system is like that. This is the troubleshooting guidelines. He has everything. You know why? God has perfect knowledge. And He has perfect knowledge before He gave the Bible that this book is enough for all the questions of humanity. Does that make sense? Okay? Many Christians fall because they have doubts, they have no answer for it. 1 Peter 3:15, what does the Bible say? Okay, so the Bible says what? Firstly, set aside God in your heart. Sanctify the Lord God in your heart. So now put God first. And then be ready always to give an answer. We must always have an answer. Okay? For every question. Okay, the Sword Club is doing a thing about evolution and creation so that we know what are the arguments. So as a teenager, as you grow up, you're grounded that we are created by God and we are accountable to God and we live only for God. Amen? That's important, okay? So we must have, of course, there are other answers as well. Some families are not intact. Some families are having, where are the answers? The answers are in the Bible, okay? Next one, Matthew 22:29. Okay, sorry, I shouldn't ask Brother Denzel because he just had wisdom tooth extraction. Sorry about that. But another reason why we fail as a Christian or fall, we lose in the fight because we are ignorant of what the Bible says. We are ignorant of what the Bible says. We may know what the words say, but we don't know what the meaning is. Okay? Jesus told the Jews, you do err. You are in error. You have wronghood, in falsehood in your life. Why? You don't know the Bible. Yeah, you claim to be so-called the scribes of the law. You claim to be the Pharisees, but you don't know what the Bible says. Okay? So, we need to be clear. Sometimes, maybe for a non-believer, they continue to lie because they don't know that lying is a sin. Actually, they do know. They have something in their hearts, but after a time, they lie and lie until the point that they don't actually feel anything about it anymore. Sin will keep you from the Bible, and the Bible will keep you from sin. Sin will keep you from the Bible, and the Bible will keep you from sin. Some Christians use the Bible to justify their sin. Yes? Some people say, actually, it's not wrong because the Bible says this. No, if you actually truly understand the Bible from God's perspective, and God is holy, you will have the proper perspective of sin. Okay? 1 Timothy 2:15. Oh, wrong. 2 Timothy, sorry. Sorry, 2 Timothy. Where is it? 2 Timothy, sorry. What a truth, okay? If we are ignorant of the scriptures, what do? We need to study the Bible. I'm serious. But Brother Johnny, I'm not disciplined. Join the FBI. We got two directors here, Brother Song Leng and Sister Chow Ling. Ask them, okay, by the end of the day, sign up. Why we lose? Because we are not in the Word. Study the Word. And those who are in FBI, you realize I say about on Friday how privileged children are to be born in Christian families. You realize how privileged we are every Monday? I know we are tired. I know we have many things to do. But you know how privileged we are for just 2.5 hours sitting down and listening to the Word of God. But some countries, they have to die for it. They have to walk 4 hours for it. They have to wake up where they're so tired and cycle 2 hours to get to a place where I can hear. You know how privileged we are? Let's take advantage of this, okay? Next one, in Ephesians 6:17. Anyone else? No? Okay, I'll just read. No, yes, Brother Song Leng. Ephesians 6:17. Joshua 1:8, okay, sorry. God says, if you meditate on my word and obey it, you will have good success in your life. How many of you are interested in that? How many of you are interested in success in life? How many of you are interested in joy and peace that fills your heart on a daily, minute-by-minute basis? And I'm serious. Okay, can you imagine Joshua? All he does was... What is Joshua? Joshua, all he did was understudy Moses. And then God says, no, you're taking over Moses. He said, what? To conquer the promised land. What? You know what? Joshua had to face the city of Jericho, the enemies of the land, with only one promise. If you meditate my word, you will win. Think about that. You know? Why does a military commander of a Jewish nation need... To meditate in God's law rather than study Sun Tzu Art of War? Why? You know why? Because the dependency on winning the war is not in our strength and ability, but in the power of God. Would you agree with that? And so God says, you better listen to what I say, otherwise you're going to fall down flat. And that's what happened to them in AI, remember? In Jericho, boom, walls of Jericho fell flat, but when AI, no problem, small city. Timothy, Rajun, Gideon, get some men, go and take it out. You know, they fell flat. Now, of course, there's sin in the camp. But, you know, they fell flat. Why? Because then the Jewish people they trusted themselves more and didn't obey God. You know what that tells me? It doesn't matter how skillful you are. It doesn't matter how good you are. It doesn't matter how well you present yourself when there's sin in your life. That is enough to topple you. And it's enough to topple any church if we allow sin in our life. Okay? Now, move from point number 9. We doubt our salvation. Ephesians 6 verse 17. I'm trying to move a bit faster, right? Ephesians 6:17. Okay, we doubt our salvation. God says the remedy is to put on the helmet of salvation. Understand, because many times many Christians don't actually win the fight because they're not sure whether they are Christians or not. Which side are you on? I must say, which side are you on? Are you on God's side or on your world side? Which side are you on? And many Christians doubt their salvation. You know why you doubt your salvation? Because of sin. Because of sin. And then after that, Satan works on you and says, you cannot be a Christian because you are sinning against God. 2 Peter 1:10. So what do we do? Listen to what Peter says. Give diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if ye do these things, ye shall never fall. Peter is not talking about losing your salvation. He's talking about Christians who are unsure about their salvation. Alright? If you read that verse, there's a verse that says, some of these things that Peter talked about were not in the life of the Christians, and they forgot they have been cleansed. They forgot that they have been cleansed. That means they are Christians already, but they forgot that they have been cleansed. Okay? And it's important for us. When Peter actually said that, many people doubt their salvation because they don't diligently add to their faith virtue, knowledge, temperance, patience, long-suffering, brotherly kindness, and then charity. They forgot to add to themselves all this. Okay, once they don't do that, then you doubt your salvation. Okay, that's what Peter is saying here. Point number 10, let's move on. Ephesians 6:17 also says, and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Okay? Ephesians 6:17 says, take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Point number 10, we do not know the word of God, neither do we know how to use it. There are many modern day Christians in that category. They don't know what God says, and even if they do, they don't know how to use. Can you imagine if, maybe you will get the children now is maybe for, well, maybe Edward. Okay. Edward, if I give you a, what's the rifle now? SAR, SAR 21. If I give you an SAR 21, you know what's an SAR 21? It's a gun. Right? Do you know how to use it? Can you imagine if Singapore sends Edward to the war front? Then, nah! You sure no one give you the rifle? And number one, depends on whether he can aim properly or not. Because I understand the ICR is what, 4 kilograms? 3? 4 plus. The M16 only 2.2, not 2.25, but 2.3, I think. So it's double the weight of the M16, number one. Number two, even if you give me SAR, I don't know how to use. I don't know how to use M16. Can you imagine? Many of us have the rifle of God's sword. Not many of us know how to cock it. Aim and shoot. Do you know how difficult it is? Do you know that engaging a target is not easy? You think you play all the computer game, boom! The distance is only what? Less than 1 meter. Of course you will hit. When you are seeing an enemy 300 meters away, you know how big the enemy looks at 300 meters away? How big does an enemy look at 300 meters away? You know what I mean? When look to a fire, 300 meters away. I think it's about like that. Okay, never mind. Anyway, but for me, I'm a bobo shooter. They say elephant in front of me, so I miss one. But all I can remember is when you want to shoot, wow, so small, how to hit? You know, Satan is very smart. He makes himself very small so that you will never hit him unless you are very sharp with the word of God. When Satan tempted Jesus, what did he say? It is written. It is written. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of God. One time, you know? And say, why don't you bow down and worship me? And say, thou shalt worship serve the Lord thy God. Him only shalt thou shalt worship the Lord thy God. Him only shalt thou serve. God, you know, Satan is eliminated. You know, for us, Satan can appear as an elephant. He will laugh at you because you don't even know how to shoot. Many Christians fall and fail. Because they don't know the word of God, neither do they know how to use it. And Christians, I'm warning you that many of you will fall in your Christian life in the coming years, the younger ones especially, if you don't take aim, if you don't learn what God has for you. And your youth leaders and your Sunday school teacher and opportunity, dads and moms, when they teach you the word of God, if you don't learn to take aim, It will break many people's hearts because the information was given. It is our responsibility to take aim. Okay? We do not know the word of God, neither do we know how to use it. Remedy, we need to use God's word. Hebrews 5, verse 12 to 14. Let me just move through a bit quicker. Okay? The remedy is Hebrews 5, 12. The Bible talks about we need to exercise our faith. We need to exercise our faith. That means for fathers, you need to conduct family altar on a daily basis. You need to teach your children the word of God and take control. Because God made you pastors of your house. If you are a Christian, you are a pastor of your own house. Did you know that? You are the spiritual leader. God expects you to take control. Fathers, it's time to just say, no, I'm going to take control. Because if God, if you read the scriptures, 1 Corinthians 12, I believe, Christ, then the man, then the woman, in terms of God's way of spiritual leadership. Men, we need to take control of our families. And we need to live the way God wants us to live, okay? Know God's word. Point 11, Ephesians 6, 18. I don't think I gave to anyone. Is it? Did I give to anyone? No. Ephesians 6, 18 says, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the faith. Another reason why we fall in our Christian life, we fail, we don't pray. We don't pray. We just don't pray. Remedy? Pray. Simple, right? Pray. Spend time. In the Chinese church, we had this man who we had dinner with him last week, and he was sharing his testimony of how he was a worker, but at a young age, after he was married, his leg got ground, I think, in a machine, and he was in Toa Payoh Hospital. Last time got Toa Payoh Hospital, remember six story one? Yeah, he said, no, I want to commit suicide and all that, but the problem, he had a problem. He couldn't commit suicide because he cannot stand. Because his leg was actually in cars in his hospital bed, he couldn't, you know. But God, through that, he got saved. You know, he got saved through that. But he says, every morning, he's just a humble man, a simple man. He says, every morning, I'll take 5 minutes to pray. 5 minutes. He'll bow down and he'll pray for his wife, his children, he'll pray for the church. 5 minutes. 5 minutes. Can we afford 5 minutes to pray? Think about that. We lose because we don't pray. Okay? We need to pray. Next point. In 1 Corinthians 10:31, whether therefore you eat or drink or whatsoever, we do all to the glory of God. We lose in our struggle in our Christian life because we forget our Christian goal in life. What is your Christian goal in life, Christian? What is your goal in life? Is to glorify God. In all that you do. In all that you do is to glorify God. Yes? In everything that your goal is to glorify God. We forget that's the goal. You know what? We become the goal. My ambition becomes the goal. My direction becomes the goal. No, as a Christian, our goal in the Christian life is to honor the Lord Jesus Christ. So what's the remedy? Fixed on honoring God. Change your goal. Honor Christ. Next one. Failure to submit to God. In Romans 6:16, know ye not that to whom ye submit, you yourselves servants to obey. His servants ye are to whom ye obey. Whether of sin unto death or obedience unto righteousness. In other words, we have not given our hearts to God. When you fail to submit to God, it means that you have not given your heart to it. If you have homework to do, how many students say, I know I got homework, but you know, you have this work avoidance. All of a sudden, you have this sudden desire to clean the kitchen. All of a sudden, you decided that cleaning the toilet is more worthwhile than doing your homework. Right? I know I must do these 10 sons, but let me wash the dishes first. All of a sudden, the household chores become more important. Oh no, actually, it's just work avoidance. You know what? We need to just give our heart to God. Say, God, if that's what you want me to do, help me to do it. Submit ourselves to God. The reason why we fall in our Christian life, because we have never come to a place of submitting ourselves to God. I mean, as a pastor, can I just be blunt? I think some of us need to, even myself, in some areas of our life, we need to come to a place where Christ is the absolute priority. Whether in character, in the Bible reading, or family, it's absolute priority. I know it does take time to grow. I know it does take time to be focused a little bit more. But you know what? The decision to make God, I'm going to make you the center. That is a starting point. And then you'll find that things will start to move towards that. Many of us, because it's not there, we don't make the decision. Say, oh, maybe when the things are a little bit more in line, then we'll make the decision. That's not how things are done. We make the decision and let God move us towards that. Submit to God. All right? Remedy, Proverbs 23, verse 26. The Bible says what? My son, give me thine heart. You know, God is just asking, my son, give me thine heart. Give me your heart. Don't let Liverpool be the goal of your life. Don't let movies be the goal of your life. Don't let this and that be. Let Christ always be the goal of your life. And honor Him. Submit to God. Another point, point 14. Galatians 5:16. The Bible says, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Let's turn there. Galatians 5:17 is an important verse in this winning, because we're dealing head on with flesh. Okay? Galatians 5:17, you can note that down as I read. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary the one to the other, so that you cannot do the things that you would. I want us to understand, these two enemies will never make peace. Never. Never make peace. The flesh and the Spirit will never make peace. These are contrary one to the other. So if some of us will think, well, I'll try to mix a little bit of the world and mix a little bit of spiritual life, and I think it will work out. No, it will never work out. Because the Bible already says, the flesh and the Spirit will never come together. They will never have a line. They will never have a peace treaty. Never, 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 never in their entire life will have a peace treaty. You know the worst thing is, at the point, last point of the verse, Galatians 5:17 says, so that if you are so submitted to the flesh, the Bible says, you cannot do the things that you know you should do. You cannot do the things that you know you should do. Why? Because you're living in the flesh. Many Christians fail in their Christian lives, fail in this world, because they live according to the flesh. What they see, what they feel, not what the Word of God says. This is an important principle, because many Christians get stuck in their Christian life because they don't realize they're living so much out of the flesh that even when they want to do right, listen, this is one of the spiritual bondage that many Christians are under. That when they want to choose to do right, they can't. You know what Satan does? When as a Christian, you know that you're supposed to do right, but you're so trapped by your sin, and then you want to go out, but you don't want to tell anyone. Why? Pride. And so, but you keep trying, you fall, you keep trying, you fall, you keep trying, you fall, and then what's the point of trying, you fall? You know what God says? Confess that sin, speak to someone, let another brother, brethren, in Galatians 6:1, if you see a brethren overtaking a fault, he which are spiritual, restore such an one in the spirit of meekness. God wants us to help one another in the Christian life. Sometimes, in a battlefield, you need your buddy to pull you along because you've hurt yourself. There's no shame in that. In fact, there's camaraderie in that. We walk in the flesh. A practical example is Samson. Remember Samson? Remember Samson? Samson? No? Muscle man? Alright? You know how much grace God had on his life? Yeah, three things he's not supposed to do. I think I mentioned before. Firstly, he's not supposed to take alcoholic beverages. He's not supposed to touch a dead body. And then what else? He's not supposed to cut his hair. Okay, first thing he did, he drank alcoholic beverages. One down. God still gave him his power. Number two, he's not supposed to touch a dead body. He touched a dead lion. Two. And then, strike two. God still had power on him, right? Until the last point, cut his hair. Three, God says, that's enough. God removed that power from him. And of course, Samson died tragically. Christians, if we do not live by the Spirit of God, you, even when you choose to do the right thing, the Bible says, you don't even have the strength to do it. You don't even have the strength to do it. You know, that's why we deal with sin on a daily basis. That's why you see this in this pulpit, by God's grace, you always deal with sin. But of course, we need to encourage people that God does give us a victory over sin. Like all the verses I gave you, God does give us a victory over sin. But Christians, do we avail ourselves to that victory? Galatians 5:16, walk in the Spirit. Walk in the Spirit. Okay? I'll just go through this last point, and then after that, we will probably keep the rest for next week. I don't want to go too long. What does it mean to walk in the Spirit? Okay? Let me just have a practical exercise. Based on the knowledge of the Bible, what would be a life after the Spirit for a normal student? Okay, a normal student. Okay, let's say you're a student, all right? A Christian student. What will be a life after the Spirit? What will be the model Christian student? Okay, let's start with the time he gets up. A model Christian student, what will he do? Huh? Sorry? He'll brush his teeth. Yes. Okay, wash his face. Okay, take care of himself, right? Then after, what do you think the model Christian student will do? Sorry? What? He'll do his Bible reading. Yes. And then he'll pray. Yes. Okay. Then after that, what do you think the model student will do? Generally, I don't have to go into a lot of detail. Okay, so after you get up, brush his teeth, read his Bible and pray. Then after that, what does he do? Goes to school, right? What do you do in school? What do you think a model Christian student, how do you think a model Christian student will behave in school? When teacher is teaching, what do you do? What do you do? Listen, right? Okay. What do you think a model Christian student will do when another student say, "I don't understand"? Maybe teacher is not there. So what would you think a model Christian student would do? It will help. Right? Okay? So after, what do you think a model Christian student would do when they go home? Huh? Do his homework? No, no. Okay, he'll make sure he check his bag, make sure his homework is done. A model Christian student also will put the bags where it belongs. Alright? And he will make sure things are neat, and then he will fulfill his responsibility. Okay. What do you think a model Christian student would do when he go to recess in school? Sorry? What? He will join the queue. He will cut you. Okay, when he's sitting down with his friends, he would give thanks for the food. Yes? I mean, these are simple Christian. You know, when you walk a life as, I would say a modern Christian student would be praying at the bus stop, "God, you know, I'm going to be late, please." No, a modern Christian student would not be late. So he probably about half an hour earlier. Okay. I want to give you the model Christian student. You know, a person who is given their life to God, you know, their lives will be. I know it's a struggle. That's why it's called a model. Model is something you emulate. But if truly our lives is after the Spirit of God, a lot of areas of our lives will change. Would you agree? If our lives are modeling after Christ's likeness and Spirit likeness, a lot of our thoughts, our habits, our lifestyle, the things we do, will change. The television will play a very small role in our life. Computer games will play zero in our life. You know why? What value is there in computer games? We don't want to go into an academic discussion about the eye-hand coordination or that. But in terms of what does Warcraft do to your spiritual life? It encourages you to fight against demonic spirits, right? Right?
Yeah. No, it doesn't.
What value is there? Christians, when we live after the Spirit of God, I can tell you there are many things that will change. It has to. Because our Savior, you realize our Savior's life was full of the service of Christ. You know, that's what our lives ought to model after. Okay? So, any question? Any questions? I'll encourage you to finish, maybe just read and finish. I'd like to go through a little bit more detail in some of those things. Next week, we'll take it just to finish that. All right? But any questions? Perhaps as we close, I just want to ask you one question. As you thought of the thing that you are struggling with, which of these first 14 points is God actually blaring at you in your heart? Maybe I'll give you the rest, okay? Failure to obey the word of God is point 16. Mixing with the wrong company is point 16. Mixing wrong company. Point 17 is love for this world. And point 18 is not being in the fellowship of God's people. All right, these are the remaining ones, but we'll touch a little bit more on 15 to 18 next week. But you know, which of these points... Sorry? The last one is not being in the fellowship of God's people. Choosing not to be in church. Choosing not to come because of sin. Choosing... When you have a choice, not because you have work. Work is a legitimate, I won't say excuse, okay? But if you can, you... But you know what? Not being in the fellowship of God's people is one of the reasons why Christians fall. And the illustration is very simple. When you live in a cold environment of sin, after a while, you'll get frozen to the things of God. You need to come to enjoy the warmth of the fellowship of God's people and the fire of God's word. Is able to fire our soul
so that we can thaw some of the cold hearts that are out there. Okay? So if you look at this 18, which one is God blaring at you? That say the reason why you're always failing is because I want to do the right thing. Why can't I? Is it because of failure to obey God's word? Is it a love for this world? Is it forgetting our Christian goal in life? Is it because we don't pray? Is it because we don't know the word of God? Okay? So, any questions? Next week we'll wrap it up and then we'll move on to another topic, which hopefully is more practical. But this is, I believe this is practical as well. We know Christians, we fall in our Christian life. It is God's will for us to win in our Christian life. Amen? It's God's will for every Christian to win. It's very easy to follow the ways of the world. You need to fight. William Gurnall, I always quote this. William Gurnall was a Christian author. He only wrote, I think, one or two books, not a lot. He wrote he wrote an exposition of Christian in complete armor. Okay, the font is 8 or 7, and it's about this 1,200 pages on 8 verses. And one of the things he said, we have to fight for every inch of our Christian life if we ever want to grow. Just like a soldier storming an objective heavily fortified by the enemy. Then unless we are willing to allow ourselves and God to use us, we will never win. Christians, you and I cannot afford to win. Or rather, we will never win if we depend on our own strength in our Christian life. We need to depend on God 100%. All right, any questions? Okay, let's have a prayer. Lord, got about 20 minutes before the service, 15, 20 minutes before the service, I pray that these thoughts will linger in our minds. The Father, we understand the struggle in our Christian life, there is a spiritual reason. And that, Father, you've given us spiritual remedies. And Father, I pray that if there's some, Lord, who are actively wanting to overcome some areas, I pray they will be willing to organize their life after that reason so that their lives will take off spiritually. And we know when the spiritual is right, when we seek first the kingdom of God, all these things shall be added unto us. Help us to have that perspective in our mind, that when we deal with the spiritual, Lord, you will help us with the physical as well. Thank you. We ask for your grace. Pray for a wonderful time of fellowship, Lord. Thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.